You are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Nathan Zagura, Vic Carucci here on a Trent Richardson trade Thursday as we get the feedback, the fallout, etc. Here, let you guys vent, let you guys say you like the deal from a football perspective or you don't, whether you hate it, whatever. 216-578-0850. Again, 216-578-0850. Let's go now to Tom in Cleveland. Tom, welcome to CBD.
What's up about that, guys?
How you doing?
Good, man. How about you?
All right. Wait, what do we got, brother? Right. It could be better.
Yeah. Oh, tell me about it, man. It's rough last night. This is so disgusting. Mm. But first of all, I want to—I agree with you guys. I love getting the first pick. Don't get me wrong there. The only problem I have is Lombardi's record with drafts is terrible, and Banner is a glorified accountant. So I don't understand why he's even dealing with personnel. I've never seen a move like this where the GM is hidden and doesn't even show up. So I'm just wondering where the accountability is.
Well, now here's where I'll take exception to that. No, you didn't hear from Michael Lombardi, and yes, his title is GM. But Joe Banner, to classify him as you call him a glorified accountant is not correct. He is the primary mover, shaker in all the football decisions this team has made. And his time in Philly, those 19 years he spent with the Eagles before he got here, was not only in the realm of business and working with a calculator. The guy was very much involved in the football side of it, personnel side of it, analytics as it applies to studying players, putting a system in place to break down the variables of what makes a player good or not so good according to the charts. And he was very much part of the building of Philadelphia teams that routinely, regularly, annually played in the NFC Championship game, and was behind this too in a big, big way. So the same decisions that resulted in Paul Kruger, Desmond Bryant, Barkevious Mingo, Quinton Groves coming aboard and to be a part of a defense that was also a decision to hire Ray Horton and bring the 3-4 scheme here. He was part of all of that decision making. Do we not think that's working out really well? Because I think it is, and I think it gives credibility to that guy and to Michael Lombardi to be part of it. But this is to take the approach, Nathan, that Lombardi did all this stuff, basically sent Richardson packing and then went in hiding.
Isn't
that
correct?
That perception's dead wrong.
It is dead wrong. That's exactly right. Just wanted to give a little piece of news out there. Adam Schefter, who joined us earlier on the show, reporting on Twitter that doctors have determined that Browns quarterback Brandon Whedon has a sprained right thumb that will not need surgery. Whedon could be ready as early next week, reported 7 minutes ago on Twitter by Adam Schefter.
No, that's good news to see him come back here, and we'll see. But he's not guaranteed of anything, according to Rob Chudzinski, who said that yesterday. Remember that bit of news that got lost now in all the Trent Richardson shuffle. Joe in Erie, Pennsylvania is with us now. Hey, Jeff. Jeff in Cleveland? I skipped over Jeff. All right, Jeff.
Hey, I'm here.
Hey, sorry, buddy.
Hey, guys. I apologize if this has been asked before, but I'm wondering if the idea for this move, the framework behind some sort of deal to unload Richardson was in place, and thus the reason we had this mysterious injury and the holdout during training camp. Do you think there's any possibility of that?
I those thoughts have crossed my mind as to the timetable, because you always find out sometimes it's revisionist history when you find out how these things actually came down or whatever the timing. But we did ask the question of Joe Banner. It sounded to us, and his answer was, and I'm going to take him at his word because I've got no reason to believe that he was looking in me in the eye and telling me something different than that. He said that this literally came together starting, I guess, Tuesday, and the Colts were the ones who really initiated it, and that they were ready. It was a time, as many of these deals are, it was kind of a time-sensitive deal, like if we're going to do this, we're going to do this now, and we've got a first-round pick to give you in 2014, yay or nay, and the Browns said yay. So it sounded like all of it came together on Tuesday. I'm in this building, again, on a daily basis, around this team a lot. I would be willing to tell you if I even had a sniff or a hint at the times of training camp offseason that something like this was coming. Never saw it. And I was part of the media decisions. I'm talking about our internal media decisions. put this guy on the cover of our game program for our season opener against Miami. The guy's picture is on the apps, the iPad, iPhone, Android apps. He pops up when you see there. His face is on the ticket that are being distributed. I work with our art director, whom I had hired here several years ago, who was picking out the right photos. So it was all Trent, all go. I mean, for, as far as the you know, his appearance as a face or a primary face of the team. So just, but I want people to be clear that that's, I don't think, and by the way, I don't, I'm, those decisions don't get signed off at like my level at all. They go much higher than
we
that.
We had no idea.
And so people who are well above Nathan and I were signing off on those decisions. All right, coming up, we're going to have a discussion about the Vikings. Mark Craig covers that team for the Minneapolis Star Tribune. He's going to join us because we got to talk about Sunday's game. We got to do that and hear what he's thinking, what the Vikings might be thinking about, what's going on here in Cleveland, if they, I'm sure they're paying attention, as the entire league is. More ahead, Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford.